pursue happiness in that way. But dear friends, we also have to realize that when we have this godless attitude when it comes to you, you only live once. In other words, there's no eternity. There's no consequences for your decisions. So spend your savings. Go ahead and have that extra cocktail because you only live once. Or go ahead and spend lots of money on those fancy, luxurious vacations because you only live once. Question, what if you die twice? I preach you the word of the Lord as Jesus Christ throws Hades into hell. There is a second death we need to be aware of. In congregation, Jesus Christ comes to throw Hades into hell as he sits on a throne. And from that throne, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is going to open books. And then there's going to be an inferno as Jesus Christ holds all those who ever lived accountable for the life that they lived. First of all, Jesus Christ is seated on the throne. Then I saw, verse 11, a great white throne and him who was seated on him. And Jesus Christ now has defeated the devil, you remember, and Jesus Christ has thrown the devil into the lake of fire. And now Christ is busy judging the living and the dead. He's holding a court in the Supreme Court of Heaven, and it's a great white throne. I believe that symbolizes that our Lord Jesus Christ, when he makes decisions and when he judges all who ever live, that he's going to be judging those fairly. He judges every single person with equity and with a perfect judgment and justice. The judgments of Jesus Christ are always going to be fair, and they are going to be wise. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them, including those who want to be running away, who just want to kind of mail it in. You will not be able, and neither will I, to mail this one in. You can't mail it in. You will show up in the Supreme Court of Heaven. And Jesus Christ is going to judge you and me according to our works. When I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. And no one congregation is above the law here, are they? No matter who you are, you could be a nobody or a somebody. You could be a celebrity. You could have a million people following you on social media because you are some sort of influencer. Or you could be a poor person in the sticks nobody knows about. And every single person, whoever lived, will face Jesus Christ and have to answer for the life they lived once. And so we need to be aware that there is the second death. Whether you are the Pope, whether you are the President, wherever your name is written, dear friends, or my name is written, whoever you are and whatever name you have, you will stand before God Almighty, whether you are Adolf Hitler or whether you are Mother Teresa or Billy Graham. It doesn't matter. Every single person will have to answer for what they have done in the body. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The books were open. The dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Doesn't even matter how exactly you died. No matter how you died, nevertheless, we read together, for instance, as well in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that every single person will face judgment day. Christians and non-Christians, whether you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ or you are an unbeliever. And congregation, we are to go before Jesus Christ to be judged as Christians for a judgment of evaluation. If you're not a Christian, you will go before Jesus Christ to be judged for a judgment of condemnation. No one, however, is above the law. They are judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Verse 13. Everyone will rise whether living or dead, to look into the eyes of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 6, just to catch this. John chapter 6 at verse 39, page 1522 in the Pew Bible. John chapter 6 at verse 39. John 6:39. Remember, congregation, that there are at least three positions you take, most Christians take when it comes to the end times. And when does Jesus Christ return? We talked about the premillennial position. That's the majority position. Many Christians, the vast majority of Christians hold to that. In other words, Jesus Christ comes back before the millennium or the thousand-year reign here on earth. Or you have a post-millennial position. Jesus Christ comes after the millennium or the thousand-year reign, and the amillennial position. In other words, there's no thousand-year earthly reign of Jesus Christ. The millennium is right now. Jesus Christ is reigning. These are the last days, and he's reigning over heaven and earth for a perfect and complete amount of time between his resurrection and ascension and his return. That is the thousand-year reign. And I mention that because of this. We didn't catch it last couple of sermons, but what does Jesus Christ talk about? He doesn't talk about last days. He talks about the last day. John chapter 6 at verse 39. And this is the will of him who sent me, Jesus says, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. Verse 40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Verse 44, John chapter 6, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Dear friends, premillennial Christians, and they are Christians, they're going to be in heaven one day, but they, I believe they have it wrong here, because in the premillennial understanding of the last times, what they say is that Jesus Christ is going to come back and have a secret rapture. No one knows except Christians, and Jesus Christ is going to come back secretly, and then he's going to rapture, bring the Christians up, and then there's going to be a seven-year span of time. And then he's going to come back. The first time he comes back, he's going to raise people up with him, raise Christians up with him at that time. And then he's going to come back with those Christians that he raised up to come and to reign with his people here on earth for a millennial reign in literal Palestine and reset up the temple and then reign. And then there will be the battle of Armageddon. And then return. My brothers and sisters, the resurrection of the saints cannot take place before the millennium because it will not be on the last day. I want to repeat that. I think it's very, very important for us to understand. Jesus is saying that the resurrection of the saints takes place on the last day. So there aren't multiple returns of Jesus. There aren't multiple resurrections. There's one return. And there's one resurrection, and then there's one judgment. So the one resurrection we see here in Revelation chapter 20 is the resurrection of unbelievers and believers, of every human being who lived. There's no multiple resurrections or returns or judgments. It's one last day. So the resurrection of the saints cannot take place before the millennium because Jesus Christ said, John chapter 6, that he would raise them up on the last day. No one is above the law. And that's really good news for us. There's a couple of lessons already. Dear friends, your life is significant. Whatever you do, don't ever buy the lie that whatever you say or do doesn't really matter. There's no significance. It's not eternal. So go ahead and do whatever you want. No, whatever you say or do matters to God, so much so that he's going to judge you and me for it. So that should be encouraging for us. It should teach us the fear of the Lord, but it should motivate us to please the Lord. with our lives. And this is very, very encouraging for us, dear friends, as well, that your life and my life is not a pawn on the board of the elites like a Charles Schwab putting us wherever he wants us. Jesus Christ is King, and he is judging, and he will judge every single person. The muckety mucks who are making decisions. And congregation, if half of what's going on that I understand is actually true, God help us. God help us. But Jesus Christ is in charge. And he's in charge so much that the destiny of every single person is in his hands. And he will judge with justice because he will be opening up the books. He's going to be opening up the books. God opens the book of works here, and we see that already. The books were open. Another book was open. Standing before the throne, books are open. And what are those books? Well, those are the books according to what they had done. Again, verse 13, what they had done. These are the book of works. And that's what Jesus Christ will be either condemning us for, or evaluating us for in terms of rewarding us with rewards of grace. Jesus Christ will judge us according to what we know. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 20 through 24. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 20 through 24 says that you will be judged based on what you know. And the amount with which you know. And Jesus Christ is giving a warning there. Woe to you, Bethsaida and Chorazin. If the miracles were done in Sodom that are done in your presence, Sodom would have repented a long time ago. So congregation, we have to be on the lookout and beware of presumption. That the more you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the more responsible and accountable you are, and I am, to respond by faith and obey God's word. And Jesus Christ is judging according to works. And in Matthew chapter 12 at verse 36, we read, I encourage you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. At verse 36 and 37, page 1381 in the Pew Bible, page 1381, Matthew chapter 12, at verse 36. Here Jesus says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Our heart motivations will be exposed. What we thought we were saying in secret, nobody else knows. God was listening. He's busy recording every word you say or every deed you do and what I say and do. And that's what Jesus Christ is going to be judging you and me by, for your words. So the book of works is opened, and every single thing you thought or said or did will be evaluated. And Jesus Christ is going to scrutinize our lives. And what Jesus Christ is saying there, it's not this idea, well, if I said more good words than bad words, then I get to go to heaven. But if I said more bad words than good words, then I'm going to go to hell. That's not what Jesus Christ is saying. He says, what's the most important, who are you? That's what your heart says. What's in your heart? Do words come out of your heart, changed by the grace of God, to say that Jesus Christ is my judge, who is judged for me? And condemned for my sin, I put my hope and trust in him alone, then, dear friends, sooner than later, not perfectly, but faithfully, faithful words will come out of our mouths because Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, is dwelling in our hearts. But if we have Christless hearts, our words will be Christless. But Jesus Christ is going to be judging us according to every word we have spoken. So this is the judgment of our works. And dear friends, thanks be to God that there is another book that is open, not just the book of works, but the Lamb's book of life, the Lamb's book of life. And we read together, then another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what is written in the books according to what they had done. Verse 12. God opens the book of grace as well. It's a book of grace. And congregation, we have to realize when we talk about works here, what we mean is that my works always demonstrate the master for whom I'm living, and so do yours. Works have to do with, is Jesus Christ my master? Then the works and deeds and words I say and do will show that Jesus Christ is my master. But if if we are branded by the beast, if we haven't been sealed by the Spirit, if we are slaves of Satan and following the beasts of the earth and sea, then dear congregation, those works will be shown, will come out. So, dear friends, what are the works being displayed in your life? Are they the works of your master Satan? Or are they the works or the deeds of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? God opens the book of grace. If I could put it this way, that book of grace, the Lamb's book of life, is, where's your name going to be written? Is your name going to be written in that book of life? How can you know? Well, there's one set of books that are open, and you think the book of works, in one sense, dear friends, is that book that has your name on it, and it's entitled Kevin's Biography. And if you start looking at that book, and you see the gossip, I see the slander, I see the lusts and the sins of my life. And at the end of that book, the biography of Kevin Hossing says condemned. It says unrighteous. And that's my final grade. And it's the same for you. But there's a book of grace that God is going to open. And we can have our name written in that Lamb's book of life in the blood of Jesus Christ. And what is that book? It's the biography of Jesus Christ. It's his life. So what we read in that book, it begins with a baby born in Bethlehem who lived a perfect life, who died the cruel death of the cross, and who rose in victory to justify any and every sinner who puts their hope and trust in him. Is that your book? Is that your biography? That the biography and profile of Jesus Christ is yours by receiving it with the empty hands of faith? So that is what God sees. Not our works of sin, but the finished work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear friends, Jesus Christ is enthroned as judge, and he's opening up the books. He's opening up the book of works, and he's going to be opening up the book of grace. Which book is your name going to be written in? The good news of the gospel is that your name is going to be written in the Lamb's book of life by faith alone, and that book begins with the birth in life, and it ends with the crucifixion and is fulfilled in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It ends with God saying, as he said to his one and only Son, "You are my beloved Son or daughter in whom I am pleased." And yet, dear friends, there is an inferno for those who are written, who have their names written in the first book. Jesus comes, and he's coming to destroy the last enemy. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown in to the lake of fire. What is the last enemy? According to 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy is death. What is Hades? Hades is the place of the departed spirits who are not Christians. And they're being held there for the final day of judgment. They are personally judged to be condemned to hell forever, but then publicly they will be thrown into the inferno, the lake of fire, along where the devil and the beast and the false prophet reside. Jesus Christ comes to destroy the last enemy. And it is a lake of fire. This is the second death. Remember, for Christians, we die a physical death, but that death is really understood in the book of Revelation and in the scriptures as a great resurrection into heaven itself. And then when Jesus Christ returns, he's going to reunite our souls and our bodies to be made like unto his glorious body. But for unbelievers, they will experience the second death. They will die twice. They will die physically, and they will die spiritually for all eternity and be residing in the lake of fire. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, verse 15, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And fire, congregation, symbolizes, doesn't it? It symbolizes the intense pain and anguish of hell, where God is there in pure justice, no longer with any common grace. That's where he is in pure justice. Matthew 25:41, Jesus Christ assembles. There's another judgment scene. There are sheep and there are goats, and the goats, the unbelievers, are thrown into the lake of a fire, eternal darkness. In congregation, fire is symbolizing pain and anguish. It's intense pain. It's a pain that you cannot medicate to numb. It is pain that is endless. Boys and girls, young people, what if I gave you $1,000 to put your hand... Hey, great, it's Christmas, there's a candle here. Does this one light up? I'm not sure, but if I lit this and I gave you $1,000 to put your hand right here for a minute, think you could do it? What about $2,000? Your hand starts blistering. Your hand starts burning. And that's the idea here. There's a lake of fire for those who reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, not just for a month, not just for a year, not just for a million years, but forever and ever. Why is hell good news? Because the enemies of the Church of Jesus Christ will be judged. And hell is good news, dear friends, because God doesn't want you to go there. And he warns you in love that Jesus Christ will be the one who suffers for you, your hell pain, to deliver you and me from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Jesus Christ searches for you right here and right now. And you don't have to pay a dime for it. It's been paid in full by Jesus Christ, who took that hell into his heart and put the fire out with his precious blood. If you have the Son, you have life. To enter into the new heavens and new earth. More on that as we continue our series next week, the Lord willing. Dear friends, we see how bad sin is and how holy God is as we take a look at that inferno that awaits unbelievers. So congregation, application number one, there's several of them here. Application number one, we got to watch our words carefully. Casual words, right? Words we don't think anybody's really noticing. Casual words behind closed doors. Jesus Christ says, I'm evaluating those words. So let's speak words of grace. Congregation, we need to look out for this, because we can tend to think, well, I asked Jesus in my heart when I was 5 years old, and that's all there is to be or do. Congregation, if we have Jesus Christ by the Spirit in our hearts, what is in our hearts comes out of our mouths and comes out of our lives. Have you forgiven anyone? Have I? Can people around you and me smell a whiff of the kindness and the love of Jesus Christ? Do people see the patience of Jesus Christ in your life and mine? See, Jesus Christ is for you your faithfulness, your perfection. He is for us, right? That's what we're going to be judged by. And we're justified by that justification of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are going to be judged innocent of all charges. For this reason, it's not just what we need to see. It's not just that Jesus is for us. It's that Jesus has worked in us. That's what's going to be seen in the books as they're revealed. These works of God's workmanship. It's not just the finished work of Jesus Christ, dear friends. It's the work of Jesus Christ by his Spirit that others can see. And that we are living out by faith alone, in Christ alone. Let's watch our words carefully. And let's weigh our words cautiously. Let's have the love of Jesus Christ coming out of our hearts and out of our lives into the lives of others. And then, dear friends, let us also sound the fire alarm. Sound the fire alarm. Congregation, I say this to myself as much as anybody here tonight, but when we don't tell anybody about the lake of fire, our loved ones, our neighbors, what we're really saying to them is, you can go to hell. That's what I'm saying to them. So are you. I'm smelling smoke out there today. I'm seeing smoke in our society today. Congregation, there's an inferno coming. And I know the last thing we want to hear is a smoke detector going off when there's a fire in our house. The last thing I want to hear is someone, you know, knocking on my door and being a nuisance, annoying, waking me up, but they're saying, fire! Fire! Get out of the house! And we, you know, quick put our clothes on and get the kids out. And then we look out and we see our house on fire and how grateful we are. That smoke detector went off. Or that person was loving enough to warn us. Dear friends, let's sound the fire alarm. Let's hit the smoke detector. Let us plead with others that the wrath of God is coming. So be reconciled to God. YOLO, you only live once. But I have a question for you. What if there is a second death? What if you die twice? Let us be ready then, by faith, for the day when Jesus Christ returns to throw Hades into hell. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would give us faith in you, to believe that you took our hell in your heart and extinguished that like a fire with your precious blood. That's what we deserve. Lord Jesus, impress upon us how bad our sin is and how holy you are. May we tremble at your word and rejoice that you have written our names in your book of life. We pray, Lord, that we may demonstrate that we have you in our hearts by speaking words of forgiveness and grace and reconciliation, that others may see the patience and hear the kindness of Jesus Christ more and more from us, that we may have the blessed assurance not only that Jesus Christ is for us, but that he's working in us. Father in heaven, we pray for grace to be strong and courageous, to sound the fire alarm as we see the smoke, as we smell the smoke, as we realize a furnace is incoming. Lord, we pray that you would use us to rescue the perishing. And Lord, we pray for the words to say. Lord God, we ask that you may impress upon us that life is brief and frail, and that eternity is forever and ever. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you went through hellish agony to bring us to the new heavens and the new earth. And Lord, we pray for grace to remember that you are just and you are the judge of everyone. And so we pray that we may entrust those we can often get angry about and what they're doing to so many unborn babies and teenagers and the elderly. Lord, we pray that you would convert them, that they may become Christians. Dear Father, we pray that you would bless our offering to share the good news that Christ is risen and that we will rise in victory. Hear now and answer our prayers. We ask for these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing together as our song of dedication, number 270.